Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
If ye have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 1. We're still in our study, taking a look at John the Baptist. But John chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode or rested upon him, Christ. And I knew him not." I simply had no idea. "But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." And we've looked at that a bit. We've seen where John, when Jesus showed up and said, "Hey, John, baptize me," John was compelled in his spirit to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." We've been looking at a place called Gilgal, a place that Samuel the prophet and King Saul frequented. And also Elijah and Elisha, we looked at that. But it's where the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt and after they spent their 40 years in the desert, allowing God to sanctify them, to prepare them to enter the promised land. They crossed Jordan, and we looked at that. But on the other side of Jordan, they set up 12 stones at a place called Gilgal. And that's what we've been looking at. So, Heavenly Father, help us as we study your word. And always, always, always in the text, help us to see Jesus Christ. Help us to marvel at his wonders. And Lord, help me as I teach today to bring that out, to show Christ in the Old Testament. And Lord, I thank you and praise you and worship your mighty name. And Lord, we're thankful to give Jesus Christ all the credit for what's done here today. And in that matchless name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I've been under the weather a couple of weeks, had the flu, whatever it was. But last time, I replayed an old sermon, and I called it The Rise and Fall of Old King Saul. And I don't want to bore you by going over the same material, but we're going to go over the same material, I guess, but we're going to see Christ, as I just said, and how the things that Samuel and King Saul did foreshadowed the things that Jesus Christ did. So with that introduction, let's get to it. And again, I've replayed an old program. This should be familiar to you. But it says in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Berechath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, or of the tribe of Benjamin. You know, there are 12 tribes. We know that Jesus is of the tribe of Judah, but there are 12 tribes. And then one, Joseph, was split. And then Levi was taken to serve God, but still the count is 12. But this man, Kish, in verse 2, he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. He was of good stock, he was handsome, he was tall, he looked like a king. Well, imagine that. But because of rebellion, the people of God said, "We want a king. We believe in God, we worship him, that's fine, but we want to be like the world." And if you read the text, Samuel hears that and goes to God, and God says, "Don't worry, you're doing what I said. They didn't reject you as leader or judge or prophet. They rejected me." But going down again, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow, about this time," if it's 2 in the afternoon, then tomorrow at 2 in the afternoon, about that time, "I will send to you a man out of the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me." Now, it's interesting. You can read the book of Joshua. And Joshua succeeded Moses as leader. And there was a back and forth. The people would follow God and then they wouldn't, and follow God and they wouldn't. But then the next book, Judges, you see that again and again and again. It gets more pronounced. We want to follow God. We want to follow, but we really don't want to follow God. I mean, all those rules and, you know, we can't even do this and that on Saturday. And we're just, yeah, but we're tired. He told others of the prophets, the Lord did, that the Jews were stiff-necked. They don't want to bow the neck. They don't want to bow, you know. And I've mentioned this before, in America we have a president, but in other places like England, there's a monarch. And as the monarch passes, you're supposed to bow. But the Jews didn't want to bow. And that's the story of Israel. They have a God, they have a king in heaven, but they'd rather be like the world. And notice the types. Notice how this foreshadows the things we read of in the New Testament about Christ. Look, Samuel, tomorrow this guy's going to come, and you're going to anoint him to be captain over the people of Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. But this sounds like the prophecies of Christ, that you'd call his name Jesus and Emmanuel and what have you, that he may save his people from their sins. And I could go search for the reference and give it to you, but we know that's something that's said of Christ in the New Testament, that he would save his people, Israel, from their sins. But 1500, 2000, how many years before Christ, God told Samuel that King Saul would save his people not from their sins, but out of the hand of the Philistines. The Philistines, a warring tribe, they were always offending and coming in and making off with captives and stealing things and fighting back and forth. And God said, I hear my people praying for deliverance from the Philistines. I'm going to send Saul to save them from the Philistines. And I've belabored it, I suppose. You know who I am. You've heard me teach before. You know I talk incessantly about the Old Testament types, the things in the Old Testament that foreshadow the things in the New. And this declaration foreshadows Christ and that he would save Israel from their sins. But then look, verse 17, the next verse. And when Samuel saw Saul coming the next day, just as God said, the Lord said unto him, Behold the man whom I spake unto thee of. This same, or this is the guy that shall reign over my people. Behold the man, this is the one. And we've certainly heard that before. In John chapter 1, we've studied it extensively, looking at John the Baptist. When Christ came up, and I mentioned it about a bit ago, I suppose, when Jesus showed up, John couldn't help himself. He said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the next day he came, and again his cry was, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So we see this echo. I guess you can think of a type as an echo. We know the things that happened at the River Jordan when Jesus came up to be baptized and John couldn't help himself. He said, Behold the Lamb of God. But this passage here, when Saul came up to Samuel. Samuel's declaration was, Behold the man. Through time, Christ being the focal point, through time, backwards through time, there are echoes of the things that Christ did and said and etc. And if you take a rock and you go to the lake or whatever, and you throw a big rock in, you'll see the, and everybody knows this, every kid knows this, you'll see the ripples go out in a circle. The things that Christ did, he's the stone from heaven, remember, that Daniel showed us in chapter 2. He's the stone from heaven. And as he splashed into Israel, 2,000 years ago, the things that he did, again, I'm using a different metaphor, maybe you've not heard before, but it's a ripple backward through time, and we can see Christ in the Old Testament, backwards in time. And that's the beauty of the Old Testament, that everywhere you look, you can see Jesus Christ. In our story here, we're looking at King Saul and how he was called and anointed and etc. But you can look at Daniel in the lion's den. They threw him in the lion's den and he was as good as dead because, Daniel tastes good, I bet. Hey, lion, what do you think? Let's go eat him, you know. It was the expected thing. You throw a man into a den of hungry lions, and then you seal the opening or whatever. And overnight, well, Daniel's dead, right? But the next morning, that, if I can say it, resurrection morning, the stone or whatever was rolled back, and the king said, "Hey, Daniel," and Daniel said, "Hey, king, man, if you fluff a lion up, he makes a pretty good pillow. What do you think?" It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Everywhere you look in the Old Testament, you'll find pictures of Christ. And I think that's a wonderful thing. To me, the most important thing and most beautiful thing in the Old Testament is how everywhere you look, you can see echoes of Christ. But let's go on a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 10. It says, "Then Samuel took a vial or horn of oil." In those days, they didn't have plastic. They didn't have tin cans. One thing they had was animal horns. A cow or some sort of ram or something where the horn, if you cut it off, obviously after the thing's dead, you've got a hollow. And we've all seen this. In the Old West, they would use horns to put their gunpowder in. And, you know, nowadays you go to the Academy or Cabela's or something like that and you buy a box of cartridges. Back then they didn't have that. They had to put the powder in the barrel and then the bullet on top of that and ram it down and then prime it and spark it or whatever and the thing would go off. But they would carry their powder in some sort of ram's horn. But in this case, Samuel had a horn or vial or container of oil, and it says that he poured it, the oil, on Saul's head and kissed him and said, "Hey, you know, God has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance." And I didn't read it, but if you start in chapter 9 here and read the whole passage, you find that there was livestock or asses or whatever that were missing. And Saul went looking for these livestock. And he went here and he went there and he went to the other place and they didn't find nothing. That they went back and forth just like Elijah and Elisha. And we've studied this. They went back and forth to one place and the other place and the other place. And I make that reference because all of this is related. But regardless, Saul went here and there and the other place looking for his lost livestock. But when Samuel poured that horn of oil on his head and said, "Hey, God has anointed you to be the king." The next verse, and it says, and when you leave from me today, you'll find two men by Rachel's sepulcher or grave in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, wherever that is. And they will say unto you, "The livestock, the asses that you were looking for, hey, they've been found." And, you know, your father was concerned about you and he was sorrowful and whatever. "What about my son? I mean, my son's lost, whatever. But hey, don't worry. The livestock have been found. And you're going to meet two guys standing by Rachel's grave. that are going to tell you this. Now, this is a type of the resurrection. This is an echo through time of the resurrection. John chapter 20. We know this story. You can probably quote it. But John chapter 20, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, or the grave, and saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre, and then she ran, and she came to Simon Peter and the other guy, and she said, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we don't know where they've laid him. But in verse 11 through 14, but Mary stood outside at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the sepulchre, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said, because they took away my Lord, and we don't know where, we don't know where he's at now. And then when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was the Lord Jesus. Again, the thing that happened with King Saul, after he was anointed to be king, he was told he would see two men by the sepulchre, and they would say, hey, it's going to be all right. And there was weeping, and oh, where's the sun? That foreshadows the resurrection. It foreshadows the resurrection. It prophesies in pictorial form what would happen at the resurrection. I don't want to belabor it, but there were two men by the sepulchre in Saul's day. And then when Mary went into the sepulchre, she saw two angels, or two men, if you would, in white, etc. Again, this is a type of Christ. A foreshadowing of Christ. Things in the Old Testament that happened as an echo of the things in the New. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that the Lord gives things like this so that we can see and we can marvel. And we have something to worship God for. That he showed us from the beginning what would happen. He tells us in advance what would happen. And again, my thesis is that everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. Prophesies of Christ. Tells ahead of time of Christ. And again, I'm so grateful that God gave us his word so that as we read it, we can catch a glimpse of our marvelous Lord Jesus Christ. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.